Well, it's good to see everybody tonight. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3. Really want to start with two passages. I want to begin, first of all, right here in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says in verse 21, "Let no man glory in men." Let no man glory in men. There's a lot of ways we can glory in man. We can glory in man by exalting men too highly. We can glory in men by being afraid of men. We can glory in men by trying to be like men. We can glory in men by being discontented because of men. Many more ways we can glory in men. But Scripture says, let no man glory in men. Talking about believers. Let no believer glory in a man. Why? For all things are yours. All things are yours. The man that you may be glorying in, God gave him. God gave him. Whether it's to use him in a positive way to minister to you, or the Lord's using him in a negative way to minister to you. And not only that man, they were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas. And Paul says, all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, these ministers God's given, they're all yours. Every man that is an enemy is yours. God gave him to minister to you. Now, he's not ministering the gospel to you, but God's using him that opposes you to minister to you, just like he's using his preacher who preaches the gospel to minister to you. And if God has sent you a preacher, that's something to be thankful for. If God used friends, if he used family to bring you under the gospel, and he sent his preacher and it preached the gospel to you, be thankful for every one of those that men that God used to bring you to hear the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're all yours. God used them all for you. He used them all for you. But Paul says, but not only are the ministers yours, he expands this thing of all things are yours. He says, the world is yours. Or whether you're talking about life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ's and Christ is God's. Now he's talking to his elect. He's talking to those Christ redeemed. He's talking to those been born of the Spirit of God. He's talking to men and women who believe the Lord Jesus, that he's all our righteousness and all our salvation, him alone. Now, the Scripture's clear. Those that don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't take this promise for themselves, because Scripture says they're without the Lord. And to be without the Lord is to be without salvation. Now, they may be God's elect, but as far as anybody knows, at the moment, we don't know. And they can't take this promise for themselves. But we're talking about you that believe, you that trust the Lord. All things are yours. All things are yours. And you're Christ's, and Christ is God's. And then turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And look at verse 15. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, he's saying that all things are for your sakes, and God's bestowing abundant grace on you all the time. So that you, that abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Now let's put these things together, these two verses together, and let's think about what the Scripture, what Christ through the Spirit is saying to us. All things are yours. That means everything God has created, all things present, all things to come, death, life, every minister God's using, they are all yours. You're Christ, and Christ is God's. And then he's saying here that everything that's coming to pass in this world is for your sakes. All things are for your sakes. And it's all through the abundant grace of God. It's God ministering grace to us abundantly. And it's for this purpose, so that we might glory in the Lord, that we might glorify God, thank Him, and glorify Him for what He's done for us. Not murmur against Him, not complain about the ministers He's using or whether they're, you know, when He's using somebody that's opposed us in the world and it's hurt you, feelings and what have you, not to murmur against them, but to see how God's ministering grace to you, using that. All things are yours. All things are for your sakes. It's to bring you to see the grace of God to you so that you thank God and you glorify God for what He's done. So I want to look at really these three things. I want to look at the all things that are yours and look at how all things are for your sakes. And then secondly, see that it's all by God's abundant grace. Everything is God's abundant grace. And then lastly, see the end purpose for which God's working everything, why He's giving you all things. And that end purpose is that the thanksgiving of many might redound to the glory of God, that we might thank God and give Him the glory. That's the purpose. So we'll see these three things. Now let's begin with all things. All things are for the sake of God's people. All things are yours, and all things are for your sake. Men will say, well, I used to love how Brother Don would say this, you know. Men will say, well, you can't take that too far. And he'd say, you just take it as far as you can take it. That's what it means. All things are yours. You think about it. He included life and death. That's everything. And everything in between. That includes everything. All things are yours. And all things are for your sakes. All things are for your sakes. Let's go back to eternity. Let's go back before God made the world. In eternity, Brother Robbie just read it. In eternity, God entered covenant with God. God entered covenant with God. God the Father and God the Son entered covenant to save and elect people that God chose by His grace. And you know what they did? God ordered it. And it was sure. Because He didn't leave anything in our hands. Christ agreed to fulfill it all. And so that was for our sakes, that God made a covenant with God to save us before He made anything. Before He made anything, He entered into covenant with Himself to save us. And He didn't leave anything in our hand. He ordered it all and made it sure. Look at 2 Samuel 23:5. I hope that if we're coming here, or anybody that's hearing this, that's troubled about their life, they're looking back over their life and they're disgruntled about something, or they're troubled about something, or you're looking at your life right now and something's got you troubled, or you're worried about tomorrow, I hope the Lord will bless this word to you and me and just make us see all things are yours. And whatever God's bringing to pass, it's for your sake. It's for your sake. That will make us walk out of here tonight with some wind in our sails and be able to go through tomorrow and lay our head down tonight and know all is well. Look here. Look here. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. This is what David said at the end of his life. If you ask David what he learned through his whole life, this is what he learned right here. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. God put all things concerning salvation and concerning providence, concerning the creation of the world in which he worked out our redemption. God put all things in the hand of our mediator. That's why it's ordered and sure. God the Father trusted the work of salvation to his Son. He trusted all of it to him. Look over at Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Is it all right if we turn to some scripture tonight? I want you to, it'll help us stay focused, and it's Thursday, you work today, you're probably tired, this will help us stay focused, and we just need to see these things in the Word. Matthew 11, verse 27. This is what Christ said. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ said, my Father delivered all things concerning the salvation of my people. He delivered all things into my hand. He delivered all God's elect into his hand. And he delivered all things concerning our salvation into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's glory is at stake here. Christ came to glorify the Father. He came to glorify his own name. They're one. Do you think there's any possibility he's going to fail? No. He won't fail. He won't fail. All the works involved in our salvation, God delivered it into Christ's hand. All the promises of this everlasting covenant, God put it in the hand of his Son. All the elect themselves were delivered to Christ Jesus, for Christ to redeem us by his blood, for Christ to call us through the Spirit, through the gospel, for Christ to grow us in faith and grace and love through this gospel, for Christ to keep us, and for Christ to deliver us to the Father, perfect by what Christ has done for us, by his righteousness and by his holiness and by his grace. That's what all things were delivered into my hand, Christ said, to save my people. All things in salvation. God trusted him to accomplish the redemption of his people. God's law has got to be honored. God's law has got to be fulfilled. All the prophets have to be fulfilled. Think of what God's honor that's at stake in the prophets being fulfilled. The Lord spoke it through the prophets and gave his promise of what Christ would perform. Now, if Christ don't come forth and perform what the Father promised, that makes God a liar. Do you see how important what all the Father entrusted into his hand? He entrusted fulfilling the prophets. He entrusted for him to fulfill all righteousness so that God could receive his sinful fallen people and receive us in a way that's just and in accordance with his holiness. He entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal all the mysteries of grace to us, into our hearts, to give us new hearts, make us a new creation, and teach us the mysteries of God's grace. And to load us with the unsearchable riches, to make us see that all the riches and treasures of wisdom are all in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, who he'll have glorified. And God did all this to glorify his Son and to glorify himself. He gave it all into Christ's hand. What does the Scripture say was put into our hands. Search them. Nothing. He didn't put anything in our hand. It's all in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things. All things. Why did He do this? Go to Colossians 1. Because it pleased the Father that His Son have all preeminence. And the way He pleased for that to be is for His Son to be all the fullness. Colossians 1:18, He said He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. And you know where He says things right there. He's talking about His people. He's referring to us. To reconcile all His people to Himself. That's right. And He says, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, whether they're His. Those saints that are already with Him now, you know who reconciled them? Christ did. And you that are here now in the earth, you know who reconciled you to God? Christ did. All fullness is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God the Father and His Son are one in this work. They're one in this work. So whatever Christ accomplished, the Father accomplished. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. See, whatever He trusted it all into the hands of the Son, but whatever the Son accomplished, the Father accomplished in Him. It's all of God. God the Father, God the Son, Christ our Mediator. And when the Holy Spirit calls us to faith in Christ, you know what He gives you? When He calls you to faith in Christ, you know what He gives you? He gives you all things. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ that hath called us to glory and virtue. He didn't leave anything out. He gave you all things necessary. Everything necessary. And when He calls you and really gives you eyes to see Him and know Him, and you know this is so. You that know Him know this is so. This was so when He first called you and gave you faith to behold Him. But also, as a believer, when you're going through your life and you become bitter and you become downcast and something has you distracted, and it's like you, like Peter, when he looked at the waves, he starts sinking down, and you can't be satisfied. If it's done for you this way, well, that doesn't please you. If it's done for you that way, that don't please you. And you're just in a place where you can't be pleased, you can't be satisfied. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, God's doing that to you. He's not going to let you be satisfied in this world or with this world. But every time, that first time He did it, and every time thereafter, when He turns you and He just speaks of, He just shines the light. He just makes you know in your heart and hear His voice in His gospel and read it in His word. And He makes you see Christ and see that you have all things in Christ. When He does that, you hear Him declare to you. This is what Christ said in that parable of the marriage supper of the Lamb. He tells you, He says, behold, all things are ready. It's all done. It's all done. And when He makes you see He has done everything, it's all ready. There's an inheritance ready, waiting for you, prepared for you. And He's bringing you to that. And He's teaching you what you need to know before you get there. When makes you see what Christ has done and He's done it for you, that's when we stop our mouth and we think, why am I murmuring? Why am I complaining? Why am I saying these things? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I not content with what my Heavenly Father, my Savior, has put in my hand? He's given me somebody that taught me the gospel. I ought to love them. I ought to show them with everything, all the love I can. What have you given me? They gave me eternal life. The Lord used them to preach eternal life to me, and through them gave me eternal life. Oh, I ought to be thankful. And whatever else situation we're in, the Lord puts you there. He's given you all things. And Christ makes you see all is ready. All is done. All is finished. There's no need to murmur. No need to complain. It's all done. Right now, child of God, all things that are coming to pass in your life. Go over to Romans 8. I know you know it. We need to see it. Romans 8. Everything that's coming to pass in your life right now is coming to pass exactly for you. You who are children of God, is coming to pass for you exactly as God would have it come to pass. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you know that? Do we know that? Do we murmur too much for people that know that? Do we worry too much for people that know that so? I do. I worry too much for somebody that God has taught that He's working all things together for my good. And He's doing it according to His eternal purpose. Because whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. It's done, brethren. It's done in Christ. And for that to be so, I worry way too much. And I complain way too much. And I'm discontented way too much. Can you say that? Is that true with you? Am I just the only one? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, when the doctor prescribes medicine, usually that medicine's made up of a lot of different medicines. Not just one medicine. It's a lot of different compounds put together, mixed together, to make that medicine. Now, if you had any one of those compounds, and you had it too much of it, it'd probably kill you. But when they're all mixed together in just the right amount, it makes medicine that'll cure you. Brethren, God's making all things work together for our good. Just like mixing the medicine together. He's working all things together for our good. He's not working things separately. There's nothing happening to you that's not happening to your brethren. He's not working things separately. He's working them all together. In fact, what's happening to you and what's troubling you, God's working that in you for your brethren. And what's troubling them or comforting them, He's working that for you. He's working all these things in our lives together for our good. Good things are worked with bad things. Sad things are worked with happy things. Temporal things are worked with spiritual things. All things are worked together by God for our good. All of them. God knows exactly how and when to mix together all the different experiences that we experience so that it's for our good. He knows just how to do it and when to do it. And He controls it all. The good God works is to make us see that our life is Christ. That's what the good's for. It's to make you see your life's Christ. Your life's not in this world. Your life's not in things you can see. And the things that you can see are not lasting things. It's the things that you can't see. They're the things that are forever. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, if you still have it marked, 2 Corinthians 4:18, He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is that this affliction we're suffering is for a moment. He's working it for us to bring us into a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. And he's saying right now even, he's showing us that these things that we're looking at, that we can see with these eyes, they're not real. They're not lasting. The things, most of the things we fret about and worry about and get so upset if we lose them are not even lasting things. You're going to lose them anyway. You're going to lose them when you take your last breath or when Christ returns. So why do we fret if we lose them now? God gave them. God takes them away. But he said, but that's not the lasting thing. What he's making us remember is the things that are lasting are eternal. They're eternal. And so here's why he's doing it all. Go back there to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. And I know we looked at this just the other day. Here's why he's doing it. He's doing it so, whether it's affliction or it's comfort, whatever it is he's working for you right now, he's doing it so you can talk to your brethren about it, and they, by the witness of the gospel, will experience from our Lord his consolation for them. That's why he's doing it. Look here, for 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. You see that? Whether we're afflicted or comforted, it's for the consolation and salvation of God's people. You know, every one of us, I think, would probably say, I want to be a comfort to my brethren. I want to be used of God. I look at somebody that's a mentor of mine, and I think, I want to be used like God used them. You ladies look at some faithful pastor's wife or somebody and think, I want to be used like God used them. Well, you know how you're going to be used like God used them? He's going to bring you through hills and valleys and curves and happy and sad and good and bad and all of these things to bring you to a place where you can tell your brethren how the Lord, how His grace was sufficient for you, how He had His arms underneath you the whole time, how He kept you in the faith, how He provided for you, and through that word, He'll comfort you. I mean, He'll comfort that brother or sister you're talking to. So if we're going to be used to the Lord like that mentor we look to, or that sister we look to, that's a mentor to us, if we're going to be used like them, we're going to have to go through some trouble. We're going to have to go through some heart-wrenching trouble. And so the Lord, whether we're afflicted or we're comforted, it's for the sake of being able to tell another brother or sister what the Lord's done for us. Somebody is looking to you as their mentor, like you're looking to that older person. You comfort them like the older persons comfort you. That's why the Lord's working these things for us. That's why He's working them. I'm just about out of time, but let me hurriedly tell you this second thing. All of this is by God's grace. It's all according to His abundance grace. All things God gives, He gives to His people in abundance. God doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't. He gives in abundance. In abundance. Abundant life. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant supply of all our need. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hadn't he abundantly supplied all your need? Abundant entrance. Do you need abundant entrance? What's that? 2 Peter 1:11 says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Abundant in this entrance. What about abundant satisfaction? Listen, Psalm 36:8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Are you abundantly satisfied with the Lord Jesus? I think I am. I think I'm abundantly satisfied with Him. I know I have a lot of unbelief, and I know there's a lot of things wherein I'm not satisfied. And I shouldn't be. I shouldn't feel that way. Because in Christ, by His grace, He has given me everything in abundance. And all this is by God's abundant grace. I showed you all these abundant things because I wanted you to see it's all by His abundant grace. You could turn there, but I'm going to hurry. But listen to Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, grace did what? Much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know what God's able to do? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That doesn't mean you're going to always be driving around in a Mercedes. That doesn't mean that you're going to ever do that. That doesn't mean that, you know, things might be tight. But that's not what abundant grace is. Abundant grace is not abundance of things. Abundant grace is abundant entrance to behold the Lord Jesus, who has given you abundant salvation. That's abundant grace. And He'll provide everything you need to be able to do whatever work it is He has you to do in this life. That's His promise. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us what? All things. All things. Whatever you need. Do you think that God that gave His only begotten Son, do you think He'll spare giving you whatever earthly provision you need? Of course He won't. He won't spare. He'll give you whatever you need. He didn't spare His only begotten Son. He will not hold back from you any lesser blessing that you need. What do we murmur about most? It's not needs that we're murmuring about. Whatever we need, God either provides it or this book's lying. Either God has provided all our need, or God's a liar. Which one is it? He's provided all our need. So what do we murmur about? What is it we complain about? I'll tell you what I complain about. Not what I need. I complain about what I want that I don't have. And you know what that is? That's covetousness. That's unbelief. That's sin. That's murmuring against God. God's provided me all things that I need. And He has you too. I can say that without reservation. I know that's so. I know it is. Well, here's the end purpose for which God's given us everything. Look back there at 2 Corinthians 4. And look at verse 15 again. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Why does he do all this for us? 2 Corinthians 4:15. He says that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound. That means go back up to the glory of God. That it might redound. That He's saying like grace comes down to you, and it works all this for you, and then it redounds back to God in thanksgiving to God, giving God all the glory. When's the last time you thank God? When's the last time? And I tell you, this is a good practice right here. This is a good practice. Next time that you're complaining about anything, maybe you're not telling anybody, you just in your heart, you're thinking about it, and you're mad about something, and you're upset because things aren't going your way, and you're just murmuring and complaining about it. Next time you do it, next time you're right there, stop and thank God. Thank God for bringing you right there to that spot and giving you whatever it was that's caused you so much trouble. Just stop and thank Him. Why? Because He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, that means it's God's will that I thank Him. Yeah, that's what our text says. That's why He does all this, is so we thank Him and give Him the glory. But brethren, that situation that we're in, where we're worrying and we're troubled and we're just or the situation we're in where we're bitter and we're murmuring and we're complaining about it, that's the will of God for you. And He says, and in everything, if it's good, of course we should give Him thanks for everything that's good. Of course we'll give Him thanks for His Son and righteousness and holiness and peace and joy and all the things He's given us in Christ. Of course we'll give Him thanks for that. But when you're on your back, shivering with a fever, miserable, and you can't lift your head up, He brought you right there too. He gave you that. Life and death. Things present and things to come. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Why? It's being worked together with those wonderful times when we was walking on our tiptoes and saying how wonderful God was. He's working that time right there and that thing right there with that other for your good. Both of them. Isn't that right? We know that so. We sit right here, I know it, you know it. But it's hard to do when you're in it, isn't it? It's hard to do. I said this to you Sunday, I'll say it again. When we get to the end of our life, this is what Genesis 24:1 said. This is what's going to be said of you and me. The good, the bad, and the ugly. This is what's going to be said of everything that was brought to pass in our life. It says the Lord had blessed Abraham in what? All things. All things are yours. All things. Father, we thank You for this word. We pray, Lord, that You'd be pleased to bless it to our hearts. Lord, be with Your people that are troubled. Make us see just how sovereign and holy You are, Lord, to save. Make us stand together with assurance in You, knowing all things are ours and You're working all things for our sake. Make us stand with our brethren. Make us stand with Christ. Make us help one another by being there for them to know that we're there. And Lord, for the ones You gave to preach the gospel to us, we thank You for them. You gave us eternal life through somebody You used to preach the gospel to us. We thank You for that. Thank You for them. Lord, we thank You for the worst troubles that have caused us so much grief and pain and sorrow. We thank You for them. You're too wise to err. You sent them for our good. We thank You. Even when we don't know what they're for, we just know is to turn us to that which is unseen, so we remember that's the lasting thing. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, for free salvation, free justification. We thank you, Lord, that life, death, things present, things to come, all the ministries you've given us, all things are ours. And we thank you that we're Christ and that Christ is yours. Lord, help us know this and remember it and not forget it. Help us to thank you when next time we murmur. Lord, help us to love you. Forgive us, Lord, how we do need it, how we need forgiveness. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.